Hello everybody. So a good friend of mine named Irshad is having an evening at his house, and the theme of the evening is 50 years in the future. And everybody attending has to provide something of their vision of what the future will be like in 50 years time. So this is my submission. I hope you enjoy it.
Standing on the parking lot at Twin Pines Mall. It's Saturday morning, October 26, 1985, 1:18 a.m., and this is temporal experiment number one. The Einstein's clock is in precise synchronization with my control watch.
My calculations are correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Jesus Christ, Doc, you disintegrated Einstein.
Calm down, Marty, I didn't disintegrate anything. The molecular structure of both Einstein and the car are completely intact.
Where the hell are they?
The appropriate question is, when the hell are they? You see, Einstein has just become the world's first time traveler. I sent him into the future. I sent him into the future. Into the future. Into the future.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to NewsHour. This is me, Alon Stern. The date today is the 31st of May, 2065. Welcome to the program. We begin tonight's program with news from Ajistan.
Out in the street, they call it weather.
The war rages on the streets of Ajistan as killer drones cause terror on the streets. These drones, which have been flying above the streets of Ajistan, have been disrupting life there for the last 15 years. The drones were originally deployed 20 years ago in the US invasion of Ajistan, but have been going rogue for the last 15 years. Originally programmed using AI technology and machine learning, the drones were programmed to identify terrorists and kill them on the spot. However, the drones of course went haywire and are now hovering above Ajistan, killing people en masse. Scientists believe that they are making progress in interpreting the selection algorithms developed by the drones, and believe that in a few years they should be able to find a way of calling the drones off. However, the military are still pushing forward the development of new drones using more sophisticated machine learning technology, which can hunt down the original drones.
Out in the street, they call it murder.
What is happening today? What does it mean? Tahrir Square, Occupy Wall Street, all the protests. Here I will propose a somewhat poetic, theological even version, but I stick to it very literally. The past has left images of itself in literary texts, images comparable to those which are imprinted by lights on a photosensitive plate. The future alone possesses developers active enough to scan such surface perfectly.
The future alone contains developers active enough to scan such surfaces perfectly. What the hell does that even mean?
You know, the idea is a beautiful one, that we get literally in art signs from the future. We have fragments in art which are simply not readable in their own time. It's only from the future that you can retroactively read them.
Sorry, Zizek, sorry to interrupt you, but can you maybe give an example of what you mean?
A classical example, which I think even repeated here years ago. To read properly, Kafka is such a heroic figure. We can only read properly today Dostoevsky, William Blake, Edgar Allan Poe, backwards from Kafka. Kafka was the developer rendering them, even John Middleton, rendering them readable.
So you're saying that the future changes our interpretation of the past and the present. Have I got that right?
I think that events like Occupy Wall Street protests, the Arab Spring, demonstrations in Greece and Spain and so on, have to be read precisely as such signs from the future.
How does that then change the way we see these historical events?
We should turn around the usual historicist perspective of understanding an event out of its context and genesis. Radical emancipatory outbursts cannot be understood in this way. Instead of analyzing them as part of the continuous development from past to present, we should bring in the perspective of the future. We should analyze them as limited, distorted, sometimes even perverted, fragments of a utopian future which lies dormant in the present as its hidden potential.
A professor of mine once told me that the future of mathematics is Russians teaching Chinese in America. I think that this quote might have been one of the reasons that I landed up coming to America, and indirectly it's one of the reasons that I find myself here in Princeton, New Jersey, thinking about the future. The future is quite an exciting thing to think about, but I find that it can also be quite a stressful thing to think about. I find that I go through stages. At some points I find the future exciting, and in other stages, such as now, I find it sort of stressful. And I think that's because our choices don't always determine the future equally. There's some moments in our lives where the decisions that we make are going to have a huge effect on where we end up. I find myself being pulled in different directions at the moment. On the one hand, I want to go back to South Africa, my families and my friends are there. On the other hand, there's job opportunities in San Francisco and loads of things are happening, startup opportunities. On the one hand, the academic world is exciting and icebergs and mathematics and climate science, and this is a great time to be in academia. On the other hand, there's a world of opportunities out there and I can't wait to see it. To me, it feels like everything is really finely balanced at the moment, just teetering from side to side, and it could really go either way. I guess that in 50 years' time, when killer drones are flying around killing everybody, I'll look back on these days at Princeton and think, wow, those were the greatest days of my life. So much freedom, so much opportunity. But on the other hand, maybe this is just another example where we use the future to reinterpret the past differently. Because right now it all feels quite stressful and quite overwhelming. I wish that instead of making a choice now, I could take all possible options and exist in some sort of superposition of states, like a photon, and then maybe 50 years in the future, all the states will collapse onto one state when someone observes the system. I guess that seeing 50 years into the future is then a wonderful thing, because it lets us reinterpret the present as this beautiful, stress-free time where we had the world at our feet. But at the same time, there's some degree of sadness that comes with knowing the future, because as soon as we know the future, our superposition of states collapse and we're forced to have just one past and leave out all the other options. So I guess I'll be telling this with a sigh, ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged into a yellow wood, and I actually can't remember what I did, but I do remember that it made all the difference. Thanks guys, I hope you enjoyed it. If you did enjoy it, please let me know, and I hope to see you all again soon. Cheers.
Hear that lonesome whippoorwill. He sounds too blue to fly. The midnight train is whining low. I'm so lonesome I could cry. I've never seen a night so long when time goes crawling by. The moon just went behind.